If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Your child wakes up in the middle of the night with a high fever and the pharmacy is closed. You could wait agonizing hours just to get a doctor's appointment, or you could prepare ahead of time with Jace Medical. Jace makes it simple for families to stay ready with kits like the Jace case, ready-to-go supplies of prescription antibiotics and essential medications for travel, emergencies, or everyday life. With Jace, you're investing in more than health. You're investing in true peace of mind, knowing you're prepared for the unexpected. It's fast, it's affordable, and it could be life-saving. Just go to jace.com, answer a few quick questions, and a licensed doctor reviews your information and ships your medications straight to your door. Keep yourself and your loved ones prepared, no matter what comes next, at jace.com.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniacs were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No! Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
People of Earth, especially my omelet hombres, my hash brown homies, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope. My guests today are Kimberly and Katie from the A Date with Dateline podcast, where they delve into episodes of Dateline in both hilarious and informative ways. But next, is that all that Kimberly and Katie do? A close friend dropped a bombshell. I heard they were always, like, involved in another project, too. But what other project could he have been referring to? Could it be their other podcast about the Great British Baking Show, A Date with the Bake? Thanks, Dateline guy. So we will talk about all that, all of those podcasts, and more, because we've got Kimberly and Katie today on Breakfast.
Pick it up!
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too.
I'm always playing blue collar guys.
Breakfast.
Somebody screwed through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. Yeah. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
I don't know. I tried to do a Dateline voice in there, guys.
That was really good.
Okay, cool. Okay, good.
That was impressive.
I thought it was Keith Morrison.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
It was. Keith, you can go now.
thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Keith.
Talk to you later.
$10.
That's all we needed.
We agreed on $10. Thank you.
Here's your $50. Ted. He's a cheap date.
Kimberly and Katie, welcome to the Breakfast Show.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. I was introduced to your podcast, A Date with Dateline, by a mutual friend, and I have to say, it is one of my go-to podcasts now. You both will watch an episode of Dateline, and in a hilarious and, you know, very informative way. Also, you break down that episode down to the what I call the granular level, like what we do with Breakfast here on this show. How did this show come to be? What was the origin of it?
I've never heard the word informative.
And I was just going to say, if we're talking about breakfast, shouldn't it be the granular level? Because breakfast grains, right?
Oh my God.
That's 100% correct. Yeah.
That was free. So there you go.
It's terrible. All of my fellow pun haters out there just turned off.
Sorry. We got started because Kimberly is probably the only person in the world that I could sit in a 7-hour car ride back from Las Vegas with, and she could tell me the entire plot of a a Lifetime movie, Lifetime original movie, the entire thing from top to bottom in detail, starring Yasmin Bleeth. And I would be so enraptured because the way Kimberly recaps things, I feel like I'm watching it. And I thought that that might translate pretty well into a podcast. And she also happened to be a huge fan of Dateline. And I'd seen some, but not as many. So it just seemed, it just seemed right.
Yeah. Dateline is one of those shows where I often, and my wife, we go to bed watching an episode of Dateline.
Yeah.
What I love about your podcast, though, is, you know, I'm kind of a night owl. So when I'm up late at night, A Date with Dateline is one of my go-to podcasts that I listen to late at night. And the difference between doing that and watching an episode right before I go to bed is I don't have nightmares when I when I'm listening to your podcast, because I'm kind of laughing and getting all this little information. Whereas if I'm watching Dateline as I go to sleep, that often is incorporated into my dreams. And so I've started
trying.
That is
our new tagline for the show is, we won't give you nightmares.
Thank you. Well, that's a free one for you guys.
Thank you.
Some people out there may already have their own podcast or thinking about starting a podcast. Are there some things that you would recommend to someone who's kind of interested in starting? Like, where do you start?
Google, the old Goog, as Kimberly would say. Mm-hmm. Old Goog.
No, I've switched to Give It a Jeeves.
Give it a Jeeves. Yeah. So I didn't know anything. And I was sort of, for some reason, tasked with doing the technical end of us getting started. But all the information, I'm going to say this, it's simpler than people think. I think it seems like it would be a lot of work and that, you know, you'd need a producer and all of these things right off the bat. We've had just us for the first couple years of our podcast. And it's been, if I can do it, anyone can do it. It just takes a little bit of figuring out, you know, what kind of microphone to get, how to get the podcast broadcast to all of the different streaming services, which really now things are set up that you hosting sites are set up that they stream you everywhere on Spotify, you know, on Apple Podcasts. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but I would say just don't be intimidated by it. That would be my advice. It's easier than you think it is once you get started with it. And then get yourself a good editing software, get an Adobe Audition or something like that so that you can make yourself sound the way you like podcasts to sound. That would be my suggestion.
If you invest the time to have a decent mic and to make it sound good, it's such a, because you can have such a funny podcast, but if you're constantly hearing like strange noises or the sounds going in and out, it just like it's hard to get excited about it, I think.
Oh yeah, and we were right there. We had definitely some trial and error. We have a few episodes where definitely one or the other or both of us sound like we're in a tunnel, so that's cute. But that's early on, you know. You do investing in a few key things, like I said, like some sort of editing software that helps you, and then a good microphone are probably, I would say, the two most important things, or a decent microphone, you know, with a pop screen, things that you don't think you need, but, you know, might be helpful.
And we have like 5 episodes that we've never aired. They're the lost episodes.
Because they sound like we're underwater. They sound like we're in the ocean recording. It's real bad.
Interesting. Have you ever thought about maybe going to one of those underwater ambient sounds websites and just uploading it onto there, and then people might be looking for something that sounds like they're underwater as they go to sleep, and then they...
That's a great idea.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
There we go.
I love it.
It's okay. The site I know is called Underwats, which is a fun term for water, underwats.com.
That's something else I feel like. I feel like that's definitely something else.
Underwats.com. Okay. I believe that might be actually a .biz. I'm not sure.
.gov. Okay. Yep. Understood. I'll check it out.
Well, you know, this is fun to have you guys on because one other time I had a podcaster on. You guys are probably the biggest podcast I've had on. What was that like? Because I know that you got some attention from actually the Dateline people. I'm sure it was flattering, but was it kind of nerve-wracking when you saw them reacting to you?
I think it was first over Instagram or Twitter, and I got a private message that just said, "Hello there, ... Like, and then it said, like, "Who are you?" What's the deal?
Oh, so they're asking you this question. Now, did you think it was, I mean, because if that happened to me, I'd be like, this is fake, so bye. You know what I mean? I wouldn't believe them until they kept.
No, it was like the real checked, blue checked certified Dateline.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I probably peed a little.
Oh. Yeah.
But they've been just so nice to us. They've invited us to private screening events. They have agreed to let us interview all the hosts. They've just like gone up so above and beyond.
And also Josh Mankiewicz specifically has been really great about talking to us. He and Kimberly have what I refer to as a very special relationship. That sounds bad. Not meant to sound bad. They're good pals.
We're buds.
And
on Twitter.
And in real life. And so I would say that he'll come on occasionally and do interviews with us and stuff. He's been very forthcoming. And all the hosts have just been really nice. We actually got thank you cards from Dennis for a gift we sent that are from Dennis Murphy, which is my most prized possession at this point in my life.
Interesting. Yeah. That's great. Well, to prove to you that I listen to your show, I took like the, you know, you guys talked about the other day, the Florida Man Challenge. I took the Florida Man Challenge
where you look
up your own. Okay, so this is what I found. One of them was, okay, so you look up Florida Man and your birthday. That's the challenge, right? And then up will pop up the weird thing that a Florida man did on your birthday.
Yeah.
Florida man encases self in concrete outside of governor's mansion.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I was a little unhappy with mine. Like, I didn't feel like it was that great. That's a really good one.
There was another one that was really disturbing. I was like, I'm not going to read that one on the air.
Wait, was there a picture of him encased in his like arms and face out? How did it look?
I looked for it and there was no picture. It sounded like he had two giant plastic drums.
No.
And had PVC pipes and he had them horizontally. No. And had PVC pipes sticking out, and he just grabbed the two PVC pipes in the drums and like put the concrete. So it's basically his two arms are in the concrete things. I think that's what it was.
So he basically just went to Home Depot, got the big buckets, and was like, just checked out. And they were like, "Oh, he's doing a home improvement project." Little did they know at Home Depot.
And they had to use a jackhammer to get his
stop
arms
it.
Out.
Oh man, come on.
That's kind of like when your arm is in a cast and they're cutting the cast off. That's a terrifying moment when the jackhammer gets a little bit too close to your skin.
Oh man, I wish there was video of it because I would definitely post that.
Really
weird. Anyway, I did that flat Florida Man.
The fact that there's no video shows you that they don't even bat an eye at that sort of stuff in Florida anymore.
Yeah, they're like boring.
Yeah, oh, God, another encasing.
Kids, you got to bring me more than encasing stories. This is Florida.
This is Florida, see?
Well, another thing that you guys talk about, one of your segments you have on A Date with Dateline is what you call B-roll. And, you know, some of our listeners may not know what B-roll is. Maybe we can describe like kind of what B-roll is and the purpose of it in a show.
So it's like the footage of on Dateline specifically, it's usually footage of someone walking by a body of water or staring pensively out the window whilst drinking a cup of coffee. We call that the Folgers moment B-roll.
Right.
And over the footage, you'll hear a voiceover of the host or someone else talking. So it's like secondary footage that helps move the story or gives you something visually to look at while they're talking about something.
Right. So the A-roll, well, they don't call it A-roll, I don't think, would be, you know, you seeing an interview with someone or people directly talking. B-roll would be like they're showing a picture of them zooming in slowly on a camera that somebody or a telephone that was used in some crime. Or they're showing like an establishing shot of the outside of someone's neighborhood or some going over a wooded area or something like that where you're right. Somebody else may be talking over it.
And Dateline has very specific ones they do, like the ones I've mentioned. They also do a lot of people driving. So we'll meet someone, we'll hear them talk, and then as they're talking or the host is describing their relationship to the victim, we'll see them driving. But Dateline does it in a very specific way because you'll see them driving from the passenger seat. then you'll see them driving from the back seat. Like the cameraman gets in the back seat. Then sometimes they zoom into the rearview mirror and you'll see their face in the rearview mirror. And then sometimes they put the camera like where the odometer is and you'll see an upshot like up their nose.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate. That's
But they'll give us all like four or five of those in quick succession of to see, oh, they're driving. And then what's the other one is people that knew the victim looking through loose leaf photos. It drives me crazy because put your photos in an album, but they're just like a loose leaf photo spread out over a table.
Right.
There's two kinds of people in this world. People that keep their photos in a shoebox, like yours truly. And then people that take the time to put their photos in albums. So you can base a lot on the type of person they are by how they have their photos in their Dateline B-roll.
Yes. And so we have Date with Dateline bingo cards. So we have like 30 bingo cards so you can pick different ones and rotate it, play with your whole family. And we have all the different kinds of B-roll on there. So you mark it off as you see it.
Oh, interesting. One of the first acting gigs I ever did before I had like speaking parts on a TV show was on I don't know if you ever heard of a show called North Mission Road. It used to be on what was Court TV and then True TV.
And Court TV.
Yeah. Hmm. So North Mission Road is where at least used to be the LA Coroner's Department was. So It was all shows where the crime was solved by the coroner. So like Quincy or Bones, but in real life, you know. And so I was actually my first job. It was literally B-roll of a man had murdered his wife, I believe, or someone had murdered this man's wife. And then with a piano wire and then just threw them on the train tracks because, you know, when the train runs over someone, it gets rid of all the evidence.
Sure. Naturally.
So I was in this B-roll where they said the husband intimated it could have been a garden worker working on the tree in the backyard. And it was just B-roll of me with one of those wires that people use to cut branches, just 2 inches away from the camera, working with one of those wires back and forth.
Looking menacingly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
were you wearing? Were you wearing like some sort of bandana around your neck? Were you like in a hat like to block you from the sun? Just out of curiosity.
It was just no hat. It was just like kind of a green Dickie shirt, I believe, with a t-shirt underneath. And that was it, really.
So we also do a second show on Fridays called A Double Date with Dateline. And those are usually ID network shows, crime shows, and they have reenactments or we call them reimaginactments because they're reimagining acting actors. And you were one of them. And Katie is fascinated always by the wardrobe choices that they put these actors in.
It was
because I know that a majority of the time this is going to be an actor's own clothing situation.
Right.
So I'm always curious and trying to spot it. That's my.
Yeah. If I remember right, it was like some kind of Dickie shirt, just very simple. They didn't do too much and white t-shirt underneath. And then, you know, just in case you're curious, it turns out that, you know, he had used the piano wire to kill his wife. And then they went to his piano and there was one piano wire missing. Oh, that's weird.
So you were not the murderer.
I was not.
Just a suspect.
Yeah. The guy made up this story about maybe it was the guy, you know, working in the backyard on the tree. You know, I don't know who he was. He was here for one day and then he's gone, you know.
Oh, just some guy.
I don't even think it was a real guy,
just
you know.
Phantom gardener.
Like not even getting paid. You were a ghost.
No,
a
it's ghost gardener. To the kindness of his heart. He liked to garden.
He must have been working for some botanist. He was just taking samples of branches from my tree.
Oh, for goodness sakes. That's great.
And then we're all laughing at the killer. And then when it happens two towns over and there's another botanist that comes, they're like, oh, my God, he was telling the truth. We have to let him out of jail now.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I should have bought that story. So, Kimberly, you used to work with, and this kind of blew me away, you worked for a long time with Gary Marshall as an assistant.
Yes, I did.
What a legend.
Legend.
I don't know what, there's nothing else I would call him other than a legend or just one of the funniest guys ever. What do you take away from that experience? What?
That you don't have to be mean to get ahead in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
His brand was being nice, and he really was nice. He had a little thing stitched outside his office that said, "Nice matters." And it does. But also he just, his advice to me was always, don't get too focused on one project. Throw as much pasta against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So he constantly he was writing a book. He was working on a TV show. He was acting. He was trying to get a movie off the ground for him to direct, like constantly working on a bunch of different projects that he never rested.
Yeah. I think that's what a great legacy to leave behind. And I mean, such a giant, just a massive amount of amazing work that was done by him and with him. So it's really cool to hear that he was, you know, lived up to that nice moniker that everyone said that he was, you know?
So, yeah, I always said he was like a grandpa to me. So he was, yeah, it was very special. The whole family is just amazing. And you're lucky if you get to be part of their family.
Yeah.
And I still kind of am. So it's nice.
Well, Katie, I know that you used to work in wardrobe. What is the proper term for it? Is it wardrobe? Costuming?
Yeah, I called it all sorts of things. It depended on what the budget was. But if it was a small budget, I'd say you're saying I'm the stylist on set, or the on-set stylist, because that means I'm working with people, actors' own clothing.
Okay.
So, and if it's a bigger budget, then it's, you know, I've been costume designer to... you know, I don't know, on-set costume or all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different terms. It's all wardrobe. It's all clothes. Yeah. Well,
let me tell you a wardrobe story, and then I want to see how you would have done with this.
Okay.
So, or a scenario. When you're fitting the pants, where do you make the pants land? Because as a guy with a bit of a big belly, like, I like the top of my pants to be, like, you know, under my belly, right? But then sometimes when they do the fittings, they want the top of your pants to be right at your belly button, which is like, that's, you know, like what people that don't have bellies do, right? So
that's, okay.
Yeah,
Katie's not equipped to answer this.
I am absolutely equipped to answer this.
I have a big belly. And if I put my pants at belly button level, within taking 5 steps, it has gone down to below my belly.
Thank you. Yeah, well, because during a fitting, they're like, oh, your pants have to fit at your belly button. And so while she's fitting me, like right in front, measuring my pants fell down 3 times. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm not doing this on purpose. Like, this is like,
oh my gosh. Any,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not a Me Too situation.
Right. I mean, there's nothing I could do. I mean, unless I sit there and like just press my belly out the entire time, which is very uncomfortable and unsustainable.
Let me ask you a question. Was this a period piece?
It was not. It was modern day.
Okay. So this is just the difference between stylists, right? Like what I would do is the first question I would ask you is, where do you wear your pants normally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're not used to wearing them at that level, it's not, and you're not asking to wear them at that level as a character choice, or the director isn't telling me that, you know, this is LA Confidential and all the pants need to be high. Like, we're looking at 1930s, 1940s. Like, I mean, I think it's the most natural for you to wear them where you wear them in real life.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Because I ended up having to wear them at my belly button the entire time. So I had to do that thing where I was pushing my belly out the whole time. Yeah. So it was like, and the whole time I'm just like, oh God, don't inhale. Because
were you playing a cop?
I was playing a gate agent, like at the airport. So
I still don't feel like that necessitates it. I feel like there's a couple things that maybe, but
those pants were unflattering on everyone, I feel like.
Yeah.
Anyone who has to work at the airport, I feel like the pants are not flattering.
Let me ask you another question. Did you get to wave the wand if you were a gate agent, or were you checking passport? What was your role?
It was more like, I'm sorry, first class passengers, you guys may enter now. If you don't have one of those, you need to go over to the gate, you know, one of those type deals.
Did you have a jacket on?
Yeah.
Do you have a jacket buttoned? So why in the world would it matter where your pants fell?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay.
Interesting. I'm curious. That's okay. Sorry. That's funny. No.
I feel like Brent has been holding on to this for a very long time, and Katie has just made the hurt go away.
Yes.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like Bake Off. I make the hurt go away.
You're changing lives right now, specifically mine.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, good.
Well, thank you for that. It makes me feel better.
Good. My work here is done. I feel great.
Before we go any further, we had breakfast from Victory Cafe. Something I thought you might find interesting, even though it appears to be a typical cafe, they spell the cafe with two F's.
I noticed that.
Yeah, which is the Italian spelling of coffee instead of cafe, which is one F, which is, you know, the small place for selling meals. So I thought that was kind of a fun little, like, maybe play on words that they were doing, or maybe an unintentionally play on words.
Was it from Annie Hall? Do you remember in Annie Hall? He says, I love you. I luff you. Luff with two F's. It's a line that Woody Allen says to Diane Keaton.
I'd be impressed. Let's just say that's what it is. Yeah.
That's okay. A deep dive. I would be very impressed.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Annie Hall themed Victory Cafe.
There's nary an Annie Hall sign on the wall, though. Not one poster.
Nothing that would lead you to believe that. Yeah, but that's fine.
It is in Van Nuys, across from the DMV. So you get a great view of how crazy the scene at the DMV is right now with all the tents and those type of deals. I had the spicy sausage scrambled. The spicy sausage scrambled. I don't know if that's intentional or not intentional, but I find it delightful. Spicy sausage scrambled, which was scrambled eggs, organic chicken sausage, jalapenos, breakfast potatoes. And I got the extra avocado, which was like a dollar or something. And I think they put an entire sliced avocado on top. So I feel like I got my money's worth there.
Big pimpin'.
Win.
Katie, you had the salmon bagel sandwich. How was that?
I did. I also had a banana nut muffin, which I finished today because I saved it because I don't get muffins a lot. And so I was very excited. So I saved half of it.
How was it?
It was honestly probably the best bagel sandwich I've ever had. And to boot, the customer service at that place, those guys are the nicest gentlemen that that take your order. And they made like a little joke with me when I placed my order. They were like, it'll be 10 minutes, 9.5 minutes, 9.5. And I was like, okay. And then when I showed up, they're like, we told you 9.5 minutes. Well, it was just really sweet. And then they gave me a coupon and like, you could tell that they took pride in their food and it so showed because it was really good.
Yeah, they're really nice. They're very accommodating. They, you know, you can tell that they appreciate, the business, and I really like to go to places like that and you know and spread the word so they can keep
going.
I'll
be back.
You know?
It was so fresh and good, like just perfect, really really good.
What kind of spread did you get on your bagel?
Oh, so no, it was like so. The sandwich had capers and cucumbers and spinach and red onion, and then there was just a cream cheese spread. But I got that everything bagel, so I got you know the sesame seed and the onion, whatever, and then really thick salmon. See, they didn't skimp on the lox, and that's something that I'm just not. It's a big deal for me. Like I'm into a good salmon bagel, and it was perfect. Like I said, every bite was good, and I like that.
It's nice when they don't skimp on the salmon because they seem to charge you the same amount no matter how thick the salmon is. So
right. It wasn't. Yeah. Oh, and I think I actually did have avocado on mine.
Okay.
I did. There was avocado in it too. It was like, I mean, they knew what they were doing. And then also the bagel was really fresh. I don't like a stale, you know what I'm saying? Like the 2-day old bagel. No.
Yep.
It was a today bagel. I like that.
Kimberly, you had the vegan burrito.
Yes.
How was that?
It was good. It was very good. I did add potatoes and there were not a lot of potatoes. There was a lot of kale. I would have swapped the amounts of the kale and the potato, but it was very good. And it came with this sauce, this like chipotle sauce that I am now rationing by dipping like the tiniest minuscule amount on everything I eat. I will be holding on to that. I'm hoping I can make it last a week. It's one of those little side things that you would get like ketchup in. And so if
you
I
should
can
call
make that
them.
A week, I will be, yeah, maybe they'll sell it to me in like a jug.
They might.
I bet you they would.
Yeah, it was really good.
So we all enjoyed Victory Cafe. We're all going to go back there. And thank you for enjoying those meals separately, but together with me for breakfast.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
Delicious.
Kimberly and Katie, before we get out of here, thank you so much. I have to get three last minute recommendations from you guys. Here we go. Oh. What is your guilty pleasure show or movie that you watch?
Don't watch my guilty pleasure show, which is Toddlers and Tiaras. Don't, because it scars your soul. So yeah. Don't do that. Don't. Unless you like need to do a character study on how to be a toddler in a tiara. And then, which I don't see for you. I could be wrong. I don't
look,
know.
Here's the deal. That show scares me. Also, my cousin in the Philippines, her daughter does those Toddlers and Tiara things. And then sometimes she'll tag me in the photos. I'm like, don't, what? Don't,
no,
don't do
no.
that. What are you doing?
Stop tagging. No,
yeah,
that's
stop tagging
bad.
Me. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But my also
in the comment section, you're just like, I'm the uncle. I swear I'm the uncle, not some creepy guy that's just being tagged.
Thank you.
Oh my
that's
gosh,
right.
That's not good. But my, also, good. My other guilty pleasure would be right now, Schitt's Creek. I could watch that on repeat forever.
Man, such a great show.
It's so well done.
Love it.
I've been binge watching Bob's Burgers, King of the Hill, and which I already know both the shows by heart. And this one's a little embarrassing, King of Queens. I got a bad rap. People made a lot of fun of that show, but I actually enjoy it.
It's one that it comes on at like, I think 11 or 11:30, like right after the news. And I'll watch like three or four episodes right in a row. And it's fine. Look, you got Jerry Stiller on there, so it can't. And gosh, I can't remember. What's her name?
Leah Remini.
Yeah. Leah Remini is great. You know, Kevin James, look, fun. Kevin James is funny too. It's a good cast. It's your standard, you know, it's nothing like groundbreaking, but it is entertaining, especially if you're like up
it's
at like
it's very 11. Comforting, like to just binge out in front of the TV and eat a lot of chips and dip.
Right.
And popcorn.
Or popcorn.
But then we go through phases. Both Katie and I like do rotations. Like we'll start making references on the podcast and I just look at her and I'm like, you're rewatching The Office again, aren't you? Or then I'll make some references and she'll be like, you're rewatching Arrested Development, aren't you? So
yeah. I just finished rewatching The American Office. So that's over now, Kimberly. So we're moving on.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to the Dunder Mifflin building out here in like Van Nuys?
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
One of my friends just bought a house and you can see the back of the Dunder Mifflin building from her front porch, which
that's amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
That's kind of fun. I like that.
Right. Yeah. What is the hidden gem movie or show that you love that people may not know?
I have a lot from my childhood. What Clue, we're both obsessed with Clue, but I don't feel like that's much a hidden gem anymore.
It's my wife's favorite movie, Clue.
Good. Okay.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Troop Beverly Hills is another one.
Absolutely.
But one movie that I always loved and no one ever seems to know what it is. It's called Dick, but it's about Richard
Nixon. So good.
Oh, no. Love that movie.
It's Kirsten Dunst and Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams, and
it's great. Will Ferrell. It's really, really funny and really smart. And
Dan Hedaya plays Richard Nixon. And there's a slightly chunky Ryan Reynolds in that movie playing the dumb guy that's washing the car.
Yes.
You got one, Katie?
Oh, yeah. I would say I watch a lot of British stuff because I'm kind of an Anglophile. So sure. I would say if people haven't checked out Peep Show, it's probably time with David Mitchell and Robert Webb, or anything with David Mitchell and Robert Webb, the comedy duo. And then the Big Fat Quiz of the Year is something that they do on Channel 4 over there that is hilarious. It's a giant trivia show that they do, I think, once or twice a year. And it's so fun because they just have comedians on sort of competing for nothing, but answering sort of trivia of what's happened in the prior year, or sometimes they'll have decade shows. It'll be the prior decade, but they are all on YouTube right now and it's delightful and they're long. So it's like, if you just want something on, it's fun. And it's a good way to get to know like who's popular in British comedy.
Last one. What is your spirit animal show or movie?
Yeah. Maybe Clue for me, or Arrested Development, I feel like.
Okay.
Golden Girls. I had already thought about this. Why am I second guessing?
Oh, yeah, Golden Girls.
Golden Girls is my spirit animal show for sure.
Nice. And because spirit animal characters
combined into one, except Blanche.
Okay.
And I should be more adventurous.
You're going to get Blanche. You're just not there yet. You just haven't arrived at that stage in your life yet. Sorry, spirit animal character is hands down Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek.
Moira Rose.
Yeah, I am headed there. Yes. It's coming. Yeah.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know. Yeah, I was trying to make myself appear younger, Kimberly. Stop blowing my cover. I'm 23, in case anyone wants to know.
Oh my God. We go. Wow. Well, thank you for those recommendations. Those are all amazing. Oh, you know, I was going to tell you before we move on. I actually did. It was one of the most fun things I did. A stage production out here at a very small theater that no longer exists of Clue. And I got to play Colonel Mustard. And that was just
I am so jealous.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
Oh, my God. How fun That's is that? Amazing. Was it a dinner theater?
No, it was just like a regular theater. It was this tiny little theater called the Hollywood Fight Club Theater, which...
Love it.
Yeah, it was fun.
And, oh, that sounds like
shout out the lines?
What's that?
Did people shout out the lines?
Sometimes they did. You know, you had people in the... You could see people... I could see people in the crowd being like, you know, following along with the flames... Please.
Yes, of course.
Oh yeah. Was she good? Was the actress? I mean, because that's hard. You're playing basically Madeline Kahn.
She was really good. She was really good.
She was? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And Mrs. Peacock was played by, if you guys, you know, read YA books at all, which I do sometimes, an author named Leigh Bardugo. Leigh Bardugo's books are great, and they're making a TV show out of one of her series of books now, but she actually played Mrs. Peacock back in the day when she was acting, and now she's like this famous YA author.
So. Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah.
I would imagine the actor doing the Tim Curry part would be very sweaty by the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. That's a crazy part to do live because you're just running around the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The energy level, you have to stay at a 12 the whole time.
So many lines. Yeah. And of course, you had to do all the endings. You
know, that was my question. You did all the See, I feel like this would be amazing dinner theater. This is a thought. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark KT. That's it. Mark KT and Kimberly. We sometimes come up with ideas and we need to trademark them.
Katie comes up with ideas and then instantly trademarks them, even though no one wants them.
Even though I have zero trademarks on Clue. So maybe a question for lawyers. There we go.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm such a big fan of your shows and of you guys. You're so funny and entertaining. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
If you would like to get more info on The Brentford Show, such as pics of Kimberly and Katie and I enjoying our Brentford from Victory Cafe, here's what you do. Go to the brand new Brent Pope website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances. And finally, you demanded it, a Brentfast merch store with a bunch of fun stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, perfect for the holidays, which are right around the corner. People of Earth, I bring you this show for free, but it's not free to make the show. So help us keep this going by picking up something from the Brentfast store. You will be glad that you did. You can hit me up on Instagram at ScoopsPope. Give me a follow. If you have a Brentfast question, ask away. And make sure you also follow my Facebook actor page. If you like the show, please subscribe, leave us a review, share it with friends. Brentfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in over 30 countries, over 6 continents. And trust me, my bacon brigade, my pancake peeps, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all this Brentfast slicing and dicing. Much appreciate. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Daniel Erickson, for making me sound so good. Katie and Kimberly, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
We have episodes coming out on Wednesdays, which is classic Dateline episodes. On Fridays, on and off, we have a double date with Dateline, which is usually an ID Network true crime show. And we also have a date with The Bake, which is our second season only of that show. And you can find all of those wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can also find us on social media, Dateline on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook as well. And Date with the Bake is our new Instagram account for that show.
Excellent.
And our website is adatewithdateline.com.
Well, thank you again so much. This has been a really fun episode, and I had fun discussing all these weird things with you that I knew that you guys would be into. So, yes, I was into that.
You think weird.
Yeah, that seems right. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We had a blast.
And with that, we put another first date worthy episode of Brentfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
Your child wakes up in the middle of the night with a high fever and the pharmacy is closed. You could wait agonizing hours just to get a doctor's appointment, or you could prepare ahead of time with Jace Medical. Jace makes it simple for families to stay ready with kits like the Jace case, ready-to-go supplies of prescription antibiotics and essential medications for travel, emergencies, or everyday life. With Jace, you're investing in more than health. You're investing in true peace of mind, knowing you're prepared for the unexpected. It's fast, it's affordable, and it could be life-saving. Just go to Jace.com, answer a few quick questions, and a licensed doctor reviews your information and ships your medications straight to your door. Keep yourself and your loved ones prepared, no matter what comes next, at Jace.com.